Father, we're grateful for tonight. Ask for the move of your spirit in the teaching of your word. As we have received in prayer, as we will receive in giving, as we have received in the songs, we also receive the move of your spirit through the teaching of your word. We ask that understanding of your word be multiplied in every heart tonight. Every man finding clarity, discovering the treasures of your word, finding spiritual development, walking in your way, walking in your plans as a region of nations through your word. We ask that this evening, just as there's no error in the teaching, there will be no error in our understanding. When every man together as a church will be with Jesus and as a see him, we see ourselves as we see us in him, in revelation, in power, in strength, in faith, in spiritual understanding, in walking in your will, in building spiritual conviction, in walking in your will. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son Jesus Christ, the whole church says, amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 15 is our text tonight. Romans chapter 15, hallelujah. In verse 4, Romans chapter 15, and then in verse 4, we find Paul, the apostle, writing to the church at Rome. He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. In that statement, that word aforetime has to do with the Old Testament books, hallelujah. The things that have been written aforetime. It is we're written for our learning. Someone said learning. Hallelujah. So look at me. It means that God has you in mind when the scriptures were being written. Now, I know we said that, the writers of the scriptures did not necessarily have you in mind. I mean, the writer of scripture was not thinking about a certain Pelumi, are we together? And the writer of scripture was not thinking about a certain blessing. Is it clear? If the writer of scripture uses the word blessing, he uses it, as an adjective or, as a noun, as the case may be, but not a person. Hallelujah. I mean, God said, I will make you a blessing. I mean, Moses wrote blessing. That's to do with, a noun or what God was trying to do, not a person. Amen. They probably didn't feel like maybe today someone will be named blessing. Are we together? That'll be opening a King James version. They didn't even know there's anyone who will be King James. James, when he wrote the scriptures, never thought he would be king. Are we together? Or someone will bear his name and be king. So those who wrote the scriptures did not probably have you in mind. Are we together? Because they didn't know that now, they didn't know there will be people who speak Yoruba and be reading their Bibles. They didn't know that. Are we together? They didn't know that. And I told you separately that even some of those writers, especially the New Testament books, writers of the New Testament books, did not even intend that their writings would become the scriptures. Are we together? But the truth of the matter is that the writer might not have you in mind, but God has you in mind. Say, God has me in mind. So if God has me in mind, then his texts, because the Bible is God's text. Is it clear? The Bible is God's what? Texts. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy rather, chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, verse 16, all scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God's breath. All scripture is given by the inspiration, the breath of God. So the scriptures, as we have it today, is God's text. I told you a time to that number that the Bible is God's intervention into humanity. Are we together? Man would go his way. Man would use his methods. Man will follow his own philosophy. Man-made, man-devised philosophies. Are we together? Are we together? And then Paul says in Romans chapter 3 that, man come short of the glory of God based on man's philosophy, man's way of thinking. So God has to intervene. God's affairs amongst men is an intervention. Are we together? And one of the ways that God has intervened amongst men is to bring his counsel. That counsel written down is the scriptures. So the scriptures is God's counsel, which is God's intervention into human ideology, which in turn helps man to function in God's plans and purposes upon the earth. Are we together, church? So look at it. The scriptures becomes God's text. And by extension, we have the New Testament books from Matthew to Revelation, you know, which are an application, as it were, of the Old Testament books. So, together with the New Testament books, Genesis to Revelation becomes God's intervention. It is God's own text. They are not materials coined out of human ideologies. No, they were not materials coined out of human philosophies. Are we together? It says it is God's breath. Glory to God forevermore. The scriptures are God's breath. So it is God's text. So God's text, if God has me in mind, it means I will find wisdom in his text. So if God has me in mind, it means I will find wisdom. And in Romans chapter 15 verse 4, it says, for whatsoever things are written about time were written for our learning. Are we together? Our learning, it says that we, glory to God forevermore. It didn't say that they who wrote or to whom it was written. Are we together? He wasn't referring to just to the first time audience of the writings. The writers had audiences they wrote to. But the teacher here, Paul here, is not even pointing to the audience of the writers. Are we together? He speaks particularly about himself and the folks he was writing to, the church or the saints at Corinth. Now, do we have texts where Paul also spoke about the very audience of the writers? Definitely in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and then in verse 11. He says, now, all this happened unto them, he says, for example. So he refers to them. And they are written for our admonition. So he talks about us. So them, us. So Paul does not mince words. When Paul wants to refer to the audience, the first time audience, the life audience of the original writers of the scriptures, he knows how to refer to them. And there were other instances that Paul was referring to himself or his own audience. That is about 3,000 to 4,000 years after the text had been written. So if it applies to Paul, in the same breath that it applies to him and his church or the saints at Corinth, it also applies to us today. Are we together? So if Paul is saying they were written for our learning, and here he was referring to himself and the saints he was addressing, it also applies to you and I today. We have become the eventual audience of the Old Testament writers. Are we together? We have become the eventual audiences of the Old Testament writers. So it means God has me in mind. So the copy of the Bible has not gotten into your hands through mistake. The expansion of the scriptures in diverse languages across the diverse ages, are we together, of the earth is an intentional work of God. God is intentional in having Bible in English language. God is intentional in having it in Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo, Efik, Nupe, Ibibio. Are we together? They go out of the country. He said, several languages amongst men. God is intentional in having the scriptures written in human languages, and he has not stopped. Glory to God forevermore. He has not stopped. So, do we expect more Bibles in other languages? Do we expect more translations? I see some folks sometimes say, oh, the Bible, why does the Bible occur in different translations? Blah, 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 blah. Are we together? God is not yet done. Amen. There is more to come. More translations, more languages to come. Are we together? So the writer is saying, Paul here, he's saying that God has me in mind. If God has me in mind, it means I expect to find wisdom in his text. If he has me in mind, I expect to find spiritual development, what we call spiritual growth. I expect to find spiritual development in his text. If God has me in mind, or since God has me in mind, I expect to find spiritual development in the text of the scriptures. They are written for our learning. I expect to learn. I expect to develop. I expect to be made wise. I expect to be made strong. Are we together? I expect to become a stronger Christian by looking into Bible texts. So look at this. He says, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have assurance. Assurance. So don't forget what we're looking at. We're looking at learning properly. We're looking at living by the word. Praise God. So don't forget what we've said and how we started. We started with God wanting his word to become that constant source of inspiration in our lives. God doesn't just want us to live on moments, great moments of Christian meetings, camp meetings you mentioned, you know, Holy Ghost meetings you mentioned, just like there are diverse moments in life. There are also great moments in our Christian walk. But God wants us to live in consistency. He wants us to be consistent. Someone say consistent. Hallelujah. Don't forget we said that the life of a champion is in his or her daily habits. Look at what you do daily. I can predict where your life will go or how your life will go. If I look at your life, what you do daily, I can begin to predict what things you struggle with and which areas you have strength in by observing what you do daily. Mike Mundock said that the life of a champion is in his or her, in their daily habit. Glory to God forevermore. So in Joshua chapter 1, which we saw, Joshua, want to open there? In Joshua 1, the book of Joshua. Joshua is just after Deuteronomy. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then you have Joshua. It's the sixth text. Now look at this. In chapter 1, verse 8. I want us to read together. Are you there? Let us read verse 8 together. I want to go. This book of the law shall not depart out of their mouth. Now wait. Wait. If it is this book of the law, it means Joshua had the book. Praise the Lord. Joshua did what? Had the book. Amen. Amen. Joshua did what? Had the book. Now look at what it says. He says, shall not depart out of what? Your what? Your mouth. Don't forget, last week, we saw an office. Right. Acrutis. Amen. When it comes to God's word, I am not an acrutis. So we can say, acrutis mani baboye. Praise the Lord. Do you remember acrutis? Do you remember acrutis? Alright. A-K-R-O-A-T-E-S. Acrutis. So we can say, acrutis mani baboye. Not me. Hallelujah. So look at that. Joshua did what? Up. We can have lessons from Joshua right now. One, he had a book. Then he shall not depart where? Did you see that? The book is meant for where? Does that not sound funny? The book is meant for where? Wait, answer that question. The book is meant for where? Look at the text. Read the text together. Once you go. This book of the law. So the book is meant for where? The book is meant for where? The mouth. The book is meant for the mouth. Did you see that? Did you see that? Now, in a Jewish setting, you know, like you have in Proverbs 22. Gone to the membership classes, that's the first text, that's the first session. In Proverbs 22, it is in verse 6, right? Remember, that was the first memory verse I learned in my life. Going to some 30 years ago. Are we together? Maybe over 30, I'm not sure. Maybe somewhere around that. Amen? Look at that. So, it is Proverbs 22 verse 6. It says, this book of the what? This book of what? Sorry. Proverbs 22, right? Train up what? A child, right? Train up what? A child. Train up a child. In the way that what? He should go. Now it says, when he's what? Old, he will not what? Depart from it. Train up a child. Now if you look at the word train up in the Hebrew there, is the word, what's the word again? What's the word? That word chanak. C-H-A-N-A-K is an Hebrew word. To groom. G-R-O-O-M. I'm not talking about the husband. Are we together? I'm talking about the training. To groom. Chanak. It means to groom. It means to communicate values. To groom by communicating what? Values. Hallelujah. Communicating values. When you communicate a value to a child. Hallelujah. You tell the child is 3, going to 4, 5, then you tell the child, no matter how scared you are, you must always tell me the truth, okay? I said, yes. Yeah, you train the child. No matter how scared you are, even if you see me with 2 palm trees, and it looks like I'm going to wield it to flog, no matter how scared you are, he goes, Lord, tell me the truth. Okay? Yeah. No matter how scared you are, you must learn to find the supreme person in authority in any area and tell that person the truth. Yeah. Find the topmost person. Tell the person the truth. You're training the child. You train the child to keep his word. At age 4, at age 5. Keep your word. You tell the child, your word is your life. There's nothing more important about you than doing what you said you would do. And when you're not going to be able to do it, you must have the confidence to walk up to the person you had made a promise to and say, I said this, I'm not going to be able to do this again, I'll make it up to you. Yeah. You don't leave people hanging. You're training up a child. You're communicating values. Another word for that is morals. Morals. Are we together? You tell the child, you know, the child's gone to school and seen all sort of things, and then the child comes back from school, and then the child wants to greet you, then the child says, "Hi, Dad." He says, No. In a house, a child prostrates for the father. You don't do like this. Your son comes back from school. You say, "How are you?" Or wakes up in the morning. Wakes up in the morning and sees you. He just mentions you. "Hi, Sunday." How? Do you think this is United Kingdom? Even if I take it to the United Kingdom, "Hi, Sunday." Like Bafwe, Tuatijaya.
I don't need. Are we together? He said, you don't call me by my name. That's an African child. Are we together? You don't call me by my name. Use the word daddy. He said, hi, Matt. Me? Praise God. Then his son told his father, I'm going to treat your fuck off. Yeah. The young boy, he got it from school. He told his dad, I'm going to treat your fuck off. Yeah. Because he was angry. And he just engaged you something. Dad was very angry. So he looked at his dad, I'm going to treat your fuck off. Yeah, call your mother. Two of you. Are we together? So if they train upwards, you know, it is a train an adult. If they train up a child, there's timing in the life of a man that when you cross it, some things you find it difficult to communicate some things anymore. It is from a child. So that's what to groom by communicating morals. The same thing with a new believer. A new believer. Someone say, oh, the moment somebody is saved, what is the next thing? Say, the moment somebody is saved, the next thing the person needs to do is to be in the local assembly, in the church. That's the very first thing. The very first thing is to be in the church. Now, the fellow is in the church. What is the next thing? The person should be taught the basic art of reading the Bible and praying every day at a certain time of the day. That is what we call morning devotion or daily devotion or the daily quiet time. Then the next thing the person needs to do, the moment the person has understood the place and the practice of receiving the word in the church meetings and daily, personally, receiving the word I'm praying is evangelism. That's the next thing. You say, oh, I got this fellow saved. I'm waiting for him to be a bit matured so we can go on. No, 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 no. The best time for a Christian to start evangelism is immediately he got saved. They say, oh, but he doesn't know what he will use to evangelize. The little he had that got him saved is enough for him to get another saved. Only that he might not go out alone. Are we together? Are we together? But the way he immediately must begin to experience how other people are, you know, help to receive salvation. He has to begin to experience that. He must begin to experience, participate in the process of helping other people receive the faith immediately. Look at Paul. The moment the guy, you know, got switched over from unbelief into faith, he started preaching. Are we together? Did you see that? Immediately started preaching. And if that was far away, look at Philip. John chapter 1. The same text, the same chapter 1 that he found Jesus, he quickly went to what? Find Nathaniel. He said, we have found Jesus. We have found him. He found Nathaniel. John 1, 45. Philip found Nathaniel, said unto him, we have found him, we have seen him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. The moment he got saved, look at Matthew chapter 4, the moment Jesus appeared to Peter, Simon Peter and his brother, the moment he met them, the next statement he makes to them, I will make you fishers of men. He started dealing with evangelism immediately. Save to serve, save to win others, save to save. Praise God. So the same thing. So when he uses the word chanak, chanak is used to describe, to communicate morals or values. Amen? To groom by communicating morals. He says, train up a child in the way which he should go. Which is where my attention is. That word he should go is the word pay in the Hebrew, and it has to do with mouth. The mouth. It has to do with words, the mouth. So he's saying, train up a child in the way of the mouth. What does it mean? Is to show you that the training of God's Spirit is primarily via words. The training of God's Spirit is primarily via words. The word of God, which is spoken. Someone said, but it is written. It is written to be spoken. Are we there? Are we there? It is written to be spoken. The reason why it is written is so that there can be consistency of what is spoken. Nobody can wake up today and say, oh, I have been given something to say. No, this is what we have been given to say. So it is written to preserve the integrity of what is to be spoken. For it is meant to be spoken. So the training of the Spirit is via words. So when you use the word mouth to the Hebrew or the ancient Hebrew guy or Hebrew man or an Hebrew, are we together? If you use the word mouth, he sees a training. He understands it as a training. So when he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, it has to do with training. Training. So God was talking to Joshua about training in the word. Now, if you know Joshua, you know this was a man who had been properly trained. I think history has it, if I'm not wrong, that Joshua was about 30 years old yet. Are we together? Are we together? So Joshua was already trained, was already being trained by Moses for many years. He was already being trained by Moses for many years. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Trained? Trained in the word. So, but God's instruction comes to him again concerning training. So you cannot be overtrained. Training cannot be too much. The training of the Spirit cannot be too much. The training in God's word or from God's word cannot be in excess. We need it over and over. Are we together? That is why he says, thou shalt meditate therein what? Up. Day and what? Night. It has to do with consistency. When we tell you to do something day and night, we don't expect that after a while you come and say, I have done it. No. It's not something you come and say, oh, I have fulfilled it. If we tell you to do something day and night, you can't say you have fulfilled it until you are at the tail end of your activity or of your life. Day and night. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Your mouth. So we said the book of the law is meant for what? My mouth. Now, when it is your mouth, what did Joshua understand? Are we together? By your mouth, Joshua sees it as a training, a discipline. Praise God. So, it means when it comes to God's word, discipline is required. When it comes to the word of God, discipline is necessary. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then it says that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Someone say all. Someone say all of the words. All of the words. All of the words. Not some. So don't forget Acrotis. And James is teaching from texts like this. Texts, plural, like this. So we spoke about the one who just hears the word only. We'll come back to this text in Psalm 1. Psalm 1. In Psalm 1 and then in verse 1. Either it blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in his law doth he meditate what? Day and night. Hallelujah.
day and night. Consistency. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Consistency. So God wants His word to inspire my living. God wants me to build my life on His word. That means in the good moments of life, I'm acting on the word. At the not too good moments, I'm also acting what? On the word. Acting on the word. Acting on the word. In the day, acting on the word. In the night, acting on the word. Look at this. If he says you should meditate day and night, then he says that thou mayest observe to do all, isn't it? That means, look at me, everyone. If he says meditate day and night so that you will do, that means God wants you to do the word day and night. He wants you to do the word day and night. And the way that you and I are going to do the word day and night is by meditating on it day and night. Are we together? So if I'm going to constantly act on the word, I must constantly what? Learn the word. If I'm going to act on the word in all the areas of my life, then I must learn all of God's counsel in the word. Thou shalt meditate on the book of the law. The book of the law, by saying, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. The book of the law, it talks about the entirety of it. So the entirety of it in your heart is how you will do the entirety of it in your life. All of the word. All of the word. So if he says day and night to meditate, it means God wants you to do the word day and night. Day and night has to do with consistency. How did Paul put day and night? Look at 2 Timothy quickly. Praise God. Look at 2 Timothy. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4. How did Timothy put day, how did Paul put day and night? I charge thee therefore before God, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. The public preachers of the Lord, long suffering and doctrine, in season, out of season, is day and night. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. In season, out of season, is what day and night implies. In season, out of season. Are we together? In convenient moments, out of convenient moments. Moments where what you want is what is happening. Moments where it's not happening the way you want it. So, God has me in mind, we said earlier, at the not so good moments of my life, He still wants me to act on His word. Unfavorable moments are not excuses to misbehave. Unfavorable times, because unfavorable times come to all of us. Unfavorable times come to all of us. Unfavorable moments happen to all of us. You're going through an unfavorable moment is not a reason to not act on the word. See, I act on the word. See, I act on the word. How are you going to be able to act on the word? It means you're going to fill your heart with the word of God. In the favorable moment, you're acting on the word. You're dwelling on the word. You're thinking on the word. In the non-favorable moment, you're yet thinking on the word. That's how you're going to act on the word in both seasons of your life. I do the word. I do the word. I do the word. Day and night. Day and night. 1 Timothy 4 is my text. 1 Timothy 4. And then in verse 13, shall I come, give attendance to reading exhortation to doctrine. Neither neglect not the gift is in thee. He says, which is given by prophecy, laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. 1 Timothy 4:15. Give thyself wholly unto them. Give yourself entirely unto them. He says that thy profiting may appear to all. That is another way of putting Psalm 1 and Joshua 1. Give yourself entirely unto them. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So God wants my life to be built on His word. God wants my life to be ruled by the word of God in my life. The word of God, the word of God. God's counsel, what God is thinking, what He desires, how He wants me to go about it, what He wants me to do now, His methods, His ideas, His motives, His understanding, His priorities. That is what we mean by the word of God. Hallelujah. They have God's word. So James, in chapter 1, he says, in verse 18, which we saw, that we are born of the world, right? We saw it. Born of the world. That ingredient to do God's word is in me. It's in the believing one. The believer is born of God's will, born of the word, born to live by the word, to live by the word of God. Where you build your life on the word, your life, your dreams in life, your aspirations is led by the motives of God. Yeah? Your methods, your ideologies, your styles, the way you go about things, the kind of company you keep, you love to keep, yeah. The way you handle humans, people around you, the way you handle relationships and associations, is all inspired by the word of God. Yeah. The way you spend money. You know, the reason why do you want to have money? Why do you want to be wealthy? Why do you want to have money? Why do you want to have money? Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to get married? Why do you want to have money? Why do you want to have children? What is the difference between you and the unsaved? That seeing is God's way. That's what it means. I see it God's way. Hallelujah. I see it God's way. Amen. Amen. When you win in an area, has God won? Or when you win, God now has a challenge? You know, someone can be like that. That anytime you win in an area, God now has a challenge. You had a breakthrough in an area. Suddenly, God now has a challenge. Because you have a breakthrough, we now have to go through a whole lot of effort to get you to obey the Lord. Because you won in an area. You don't understand what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. When I win, God has won in that area. Amen. When I experience a breakthrough in an area, it's a blessing for the kingdom of God. You know, you must ask yourself, is it a blessing for the kingdom of God? Is it a blessing for the kingdom of God? Is it a blessing for the kingdom of God? Is it a blessing for the kingdom of God when you have my money? Or is it a trouble for the kingdom of God? Is it a trouble?
You gain admission into the university. Is that a trouble for the kingdom of God? Maybe we should have just said, ah, maybe God will now say, look at this. Maybe God, maybe what is in the mind of God is, ah, I wish this fellow had not gotten admission now. I would not have lost him. You don't know God can think that way. Go check the Genesis text. He says, I am sorry I created man. What's all this? God didn't feel so good. You don't know God has feelings. You think he has having a cold idol like a stick. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. If you look into your heart right now, everybody here has some kind of desires. You can't even believe in Nigeria and not have desires. In 2025, if you don't have desires, it's not a spiritual problem. We should check you very well. Are you healthy? Are you okay? Are you mentally fine? You have plans. When this one comes, this. This part of the world will make you wise and smart. We all have desires, isn't it? Isn't it? Some of us, the desire is to study further. We want to study further. Some, your desire is to set up businesses. Hey! Some people have desires to get married. Are we together? Are we together? They want babies. What are their desires? Some looking for jobs. Good jobs. In some companies. Some people, it's not that jobs have not been coming. Just say, no, I don't want this one. No, I don't want this one. Because they have a desire. They have a dream. Praise the Lord. Is it going to be a relief for the kingdom of God when those desires are met? Are we together, church? Health needs, physical health. So you are believing God for visas to come through. Visas. Is it going to be a relief? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, it's going to be a challenge. Joseph was made to sit by Pharaoh in authority, it became a relief. When he saw his brethren, he says, hey, you guys sold me. He says, God sent me ahead so I can preserve you. A nation through which Jesus came would have been wiped out by hunger. Would that be the end of God's plan? No. But that would have prolonged it. God will have to find another lineage. And if you know how God works sometimes, God works on a very long marathon. He works on marathon. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. He says, God has sent me ahead so I can preserve you. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, I think around verse 5 to 12, God said concerning David that David, after a while,
after he had won all the victories, the Bible said, and David perceived that God had raised his throne for the sake of his people. That is a sensible person. Are we together? Praise the Lord forevermore. He perceived that. He still made mistakes. So now imagine somebody who is not even reasoning that way. It become chaos. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So at the good moments and the not too good moments of life, there is what God wants my life to be inspired with. His word. Let the word be the reason for your action. You can be sure you are in the right when you are acting on the word. I walk in love when you are acting on the word. You can be sure that you are in the right. James chapter 1, praise God. In verse 21, he says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. He says, with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Verse 22, then he says, but be ye doers of the word. Hallelujah. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we saw the doer there, doer of the word. We saw the word hearer rather. We've not seen the word doer. But we see the word hearers only. When it says hearers only, it says don't be the one who just hears. It didn't say don't be hearers of the word. It says don't be hearers only. The one who stops at hearing. The one who stops at hearing. No! So we saw that word hearers only in James' thoughts. It is acrotis. It's similar to going to watch a movie and you do not participate. You only heard and you saw, but you didn't participate. It stops there. Hallelujah. So my handling, my interaction with the word of God does not stop in the service. It actually begins there. Is it clear? My interaction with the word of God begins where? In the service. That is why it is usually very funny when you now see a brother or a sister in the service without the Bible. If your interaction with the word begins at the service, and at that beginning point, you already do not have a Bible. Hey! At the beginning, the very beginning, the point where your interaction with the word should start, you already came late. Hey! You already came late. At the time where your interaction, the point where your interaction with the word should begin, you are already gisting at the beginning. Imagine you get an athlete, and then you say, oh, you call different countries. You say, oh, Nigeria, Ghana, United States of America, South Africa, Ethiopia, Togo, Korea, Japan, you know, China, and then you gather all of these countries, and then you say you are going to run a 100-meter race, or let's say 1,500 marathon race, and then everybody line up at the track. Are we together? At the track, and then everybody is there. Says on your set on the track.
And then what is this person that shoots the gun? What's the name? What do they call him now? Huh? What's the name of that fellow? Who is in human kinetic here? You don't have human kinetics here. So who is the person that shoots the gun? The starter, is that what he's called? Yeah, he's the starter. That's office. But what's his name? Yeah, he's occupying the office of a starter. I've forgotten the name. There's something in my head, but my head is saying now, don't say it. My man is saying, yeah, because don't say it. It's better he don't say anything. Are we together? It's coming and going. Are we together? So, you see that guy that holds the gun, right? And he just shoots the gun. And then the Nigerian guy. I love my country, okay? And I can be forgiven at home. For another country says, this is racism. The Nigerian guy just start tumbling. At the start, you and I already know how we are going to feel. I know my brothers and sisters. We know Nigerians. Who just say, God, just coming there. They did not prepare. Oh God. We will lose hope in them. Even if he's going to win the whatever. It's like your super egos. They are playing friendly match. Or qualifier. 14-0. How? A qualifier. You're already going to lose over 81. They are not even going to do anything useful. Or the first match they will play in the group qualifiers. Just at the group qualifying level. Within 3 minutes of match, they already considered 2 goals. South Africa already scored 2-0 at 5 minutes of the group qualifier. In the World Cup. I know Nigerian guys, they will never watch the game. They won't watch again. Because you are going to lose hope. You are expecting that in this one. You are not even expecting draw. Are we together? Let's say within 15 minutes, one of our players just score one goal. Everybody's morale. Your morale will just be boosted. They'll give it to them. Yes, those are my guys. Let's say at end of first half, another one goal. 2-0, Nigeria. Yes. Second half. In fact, people will not leave during the break. People will sit down there. Sit down there. 3-0, 4-0. Good. The next match, are we going to watch it? We'll watch it. But even when the one defeated with 4-0, I go to watch the next match. You'll not watch it. I'll rather go and feed the cats. I will go and feed the mouse and the cats for 1 hour, 30 minutes. I'll come and sit and watch. So imagine that at the start, you're already flopping. Did you see that? You know it's a thing of a concern, right? That at the start, you already what? Flopping. So imagine, while the word of God is being taught, is where your interaction with the word of God begins. Imagine that at that point, you already came in not having a Bible, you're already late, you already don't have something to write with, you're already gisting, you're already quarreling with the ushers and saying, no, I am going to sit down here. Did you bring the seat from your daddy's house? Praise the Lord. At the beginning, you're already flopping. At the beginning. So the service, when we are teaching God's word in a service like this, James is saying that is the beginning of your interaction with what? With the word. He does this, but it mustn't stop there. Someone say it mustn't stop there. It mustn't stop there. is just the beginning. You don't stop at the beginning. Do you stop at the beginning? Do you stop at the beginning? It's like you gain admission for a 6-year course, medical school, and then in 100 level, you're already on 1 point something CGPA. They're already debating. They're not even debating whether you should cross to college or not. They're already debating whether you should remain in the school or not remain in the school. We check the first semester, all the physics, FFF, all the English, FFF, all the mathematics, FFF. Is your name? Can you mention your name there? F. Praise God. Someone say, at the beginning. Someone say, at the beginning. Someone say, at the beginning. It doesn't stop there. Is it clear, church? It doesn't stop at the beginning. It doesn't stop at the beginning. It starts there. So when the word of God comes to me, that is the beginning. It doesn't start there. So be not hearers only. Did you get it now? Don't stop at hearing. The hearing is the start. The hearing of the word is the beginning. So be not hearers only. Be not hearers only. James 1. Be not hearers only. He says, deceiving your own selves. So I told you, he's like the one that goes to the theater. He sees the movie, watches the movie, but he stops there. He doesn't participate. He doesn't have experience. He's going to have memory, don't forget. All he has is the attitude of a fan. So don't be a fan of the world. Don't just come to hear and to see. We said that is an experience with the word of God seeks for you to have. And when you hear it, it is just the beginning. God wants me to see the teaching meetings as the beginning of my interaction with the word. Are we together? That is the beginning of my interaction. That is the starting point. It doesn't end there. So it says, be not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Glory to God. We saw in Joshua chapter 1. I told you we'll be back there. Let's get back to Joshua 1 now. In Joshua 1, he says, that thou mayest observe to do according. I saw the word observe there, we saw last time the word shama, which means to guard something. We said shama implies to make a hedge around something. He says that you may observe to do. So we said that to do the word, I have to guard the word. There are activities called guarding the word. There are activities that we can describe as you guarding the word. Is it clear? Is it clear? Guarding the word. Definitely, I told you that guarding the word is not the same as having a memory of what has been said, even though that is important. See, God wants you to move from memory into understanding. Now, there is no way you are going to get an understanding of something except you interact with it, two things, deliberately and consistently. I will add one more, extensively. There is no way you are going to gain an understanding of something except to interact with it how? Deliberately. Someone say intentionally. Someone say intentionally. So there is no way that you are going to gain an understanding. There is no way you are going to have depth in something except you engage it what? Intentionally, extensively, and consistently. intentionally, deliberately, that's intentionally, extensively, is it clear? And what? Consistently. I told you we're going to get practical. Intentionally, deliberately, right? That's intentionally, isn't it? Isn't it? Then, extensively, consistently. Say that again. Intentionally, deliberately. Is that intentionally? Thank you. Then, extensively, consistently. Say it again. Intentionally, deliberately. Is that intentionally? So I will interact with the word how intentionally. Is it clear? Is it clear? That is how I'm going to move beyond what? Memory into what? Understanding and depth. Is that clear? Is that clear? Number one is what? Intentionally? Okay, number two? Extensively. Number three? I will move, then I will, then that's how I will move from what? From memory into what? Understanding and depth. Is it clear? So, look at this. I'm going to end my thoughts here, though I don't want, but I'm going to end it here. What does it mean to engage the word of God or to attend to? Let me remove the word engage. Let me go attend to. What does it mean to attend? Notice it says, thou shalt meditate therein what? Day and night. Now, the moment day and night is happening, day and night, does it sound like I am deliberate about it? That means at night again, I will go for it, right? Right? I might drop it, but at morning again, I will go for it. So does that already show there is intentionality in it? Is that intentional? Now, if it says day and night, are we together? Does that connote extensive? Something that is extensive? That means, look at it, in a day, there is a quarter I have given to the meditation. That is extensive. Are we together? Are we together? Now, if it says day and night. Now, where did it take day and night? Day and night is a Genesis language. Day and night is a Genesis language. Day and night was the first day. Day and night was the second day. It's a Genesis language. Are we together? So, if it says day and night, that already shows a bulk portion of a single day has been given in a practical sense to what he called meditation. Now, we have not looked at what does meditation mean. Are we together? But also when he calls meditation, he says there's a portion. He says day, night. Are we together? Are we together? Now, the following day, is it likely I get to it again day and night? So, again, does that connote extensive and consistent? Notice that it is by being deliberate, extensive, and consistent that I am going to observe towards to do it. Are we together? Are we together? So look at me, church. Look at me. Look at me. It already shows for those who are looking for victory. Amen. There is already power in spending time with the word regularly. If you just do that, you are going to find yourself acting on it. I'm going to show you why later. I'm going to show you why. Because one of the reasons why you do not do the word is because there are other thoughts also that you are acting on. When you do not do the word, you have acted on something too. Is it clear? The vacuum is not empty. Oh, am I even with the right audience tonight? The vacuum is not what? Empty. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Someone wrongs you, and you're supposed to act on the word and walk in love. If you did not walk in love, you actually did something. The vacuum is not empty. You did something. You performed an action. What you did, there is what it is called. But you were expected to walk in love. So if you did not walk in love, there you did something. Now the reason why you did that thing, instead of walking in love, the reason why you did that other thing is because that one also is gunning for your attention. Are we together? So the reason why you did not act on the word, amen, is because you did not spend enough time with the word to get into you. You stopped at hearing only. So it's not likely that you don't have a memory of what we taught. You have the memory. You have the memory of what we taught. You have the memory of the text we used. You knew the Greek words, but you did not do it. Is it clear? Because you stopped at the beginning. Because you stopped at the beginning. You stopped at the beginning. So, ask yourself, do I stop at the beginning? Is that what you usually do? Have I been stopping at the beginning? Is it clear? So, I told you, there is already enough power in what? In what? In spending time with the word what? Regularly. Now, look at me. Look at me, everybody. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? Don't look at me. There is already no power in what? With the word, right? Now, look at this. We said, don't just stop at what? Hearing. Right? Spend time what? With it. Now, look at this. Spending time with the word could just be hearing it again. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now, I will take you to some texts. So, Paul had planted, Apollos had water. We'll look at those texts. Is it clear? Notice it says, this book of the law. Okay, let me give you a text quickly. Quickly. Look at that same James. Quickly. Are you in James? Are you in James? Now look at that chapter 1. Look at verse 22. 1, 2, go. Everybody, verse 22. James 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. Let's read. 1, 2, go. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, receive your order. Can we take it again? Be what? Doers of the word, not hearers only, receive your order. Verse 23, everybody wants to go. Loudly wants to go. For if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he like unto a man behold the natural face and in the glass. He behold himself, go ahead his way, stay away, forget what man of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the law of perfect liberty and continue, the word therein is italicized. Remove it. Remove that italicized word. I told you, it was put there by translators. It is not in the originals. If you check your Bible concordance, you will not find therein there. Because the original writer never added it. It's the work of the translators. So he says, and what? Continuous what? Read that text verse 25 again. Want to go? Whosoever looketh into the what? The law of our liberty, huh? And continuous looking. Did you hear that? And continuous what? Looking. Read on. If be not a what? So how am I not going to qualify into the experience called forgetful year? By looking what? Continually. Is it clear? Looking continually will get me into being a doer of the word, and so I will not be described as a forgetful what? Hearer. Looking continually will get me into doing the word, and so I will not be described as a forgetful what? Hearer. Did you see that? So let's back up to what we're saying. When we say, not a hearer only, are we together? Not a hearer only, it says, but a doer. So we said, well, so it implies that I will be, from Joshua 1, I will be deliberate. Amen. Amen. So I will be deliberate, right? I will be what? Deliberate. I will be intentional. Right? I will be what? Deliberate. I will be what? Intentional. Right? Okay, so I am going to be deliberate. I am going to be intentional, right? Okay, so I will actually be what? Deliberate. I will be what? Intentional, isn't it? Now, part of being intentional means I want to know this area. Now, because you want to know it, you are not going to stop at hearing. I want to know this. I want to act on this. I want to have a breakthrough year. Is it clear? I want to have a breakthrough in my prayer life. It's not likely I will just be in the teaching session on prayers alone. I am going to be deliberate around the counsel of God on prayer. Now it has been taught. I was in the teaching meeting. But what brought me to the teaching meeting is so that I can have a breakthrough at prayer. It is going to affect what I do with what was taught in God's word regarding prayer after that particular session. Are we together? I am going to be intentional. I am going to be deliberate that I want to walk in love in my Christian walk. I want to be that Christian who walks in love. I'm going to be deliberate. I'm going to say that my desire is that I want to be that Christian who is generous materially. I will not be a stingy Christian. I'm not be stingy. I'm going to be generous. I'm going to let God's word help me to do away from that scarcity mentality. I'm going to be generous. Are we together? I am intentional. I am deliberate at it. I want to understand the local assembly and find my place in it. Is it clear? You are going to observe that between me and the fellow sitting right beside me, who does not have that intention, there will be a difference. And the first point of that difference is in what I do with what was taught, after it was taught. I am going to be deliberate. I am going to be intentional. Deliberate. Deliberate about the gifts of the Spirit. Deliberate about walking in righteousness and holiness. Deliberate in my knowledge of the word. I'm going to be deliberate about my understanding of biblical concepts. I'm going to be deliberate about strengthening the church. I'm going to be deliberate about living a life of honor. I am going to be intentional. That is part of guarding the word. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? Guarding the word. So guarding the word makes me to go beyond what? Memory. Into what? Into what? Now look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Very, very quickly. And then the serpent was more subtle than every other beast of the field. He comes, he meets the woman, as God said. Now when Eve responded to the serpent, did she have a memory of what God said? Did she do it? No. You can have it here, but you do not do it. E.W. Kenyon will call it sense knowledge. Sense knowledge as the opposite of revelation knowledge. E.W. Kenyon, he calls revelation knowledge the conviction in your heart that you act on. Revelation knowledge. He called it sense knowledge, when you just have something in your head. Head knowledge. Sense knowledge. I'm not a head knowledge Christian. I'm not a head knowledge Christian. I am helped of God. I'm not a sense knowledge Christian. I have conviction in my heart on the word of God. I have conviction in my heart. Because hear me, the things you do, three things. The things you do are things that, number one, you are persuaded of or about. There are things you are persuaded about. Is it clear? Number two, the things you do are, I'll give you options that affect your conduct. So, the things you are persuaded about, the things you are afraid of. You are afraid around it. You have fear. Three, the things you are overwhelmed with. So those are the three things that makes man to act. Number one, conviction. Number two, fear moves man into action. Is it clear? Is it clear? Now there's a fear that the scripture talks about that is not actually fear. It refers to honor, reverence. When he says he was moved by faith, he was moved by fear, rather. He was talking about reverence. Now, so you have conviction, you have fear, you have pressure. Pressure. There need not be fear. We have pressure. Pressure, fear, conviction. So we are talking about acting based on conviction. I'm going to talk about fear and pressure later on. We're talking about acting based on what? Conviction. That's why I said depth and understanding. depth and understanding. So, I am going to what? Intentional. Then I am going to spend an extensive time on it. That's why I actually tell people sometimes, give yourself time. Oh, pastor, I'm trying to do this in this area. I'm trying to do this. It's okay. Give yourself what? Time. I'm trying to stop this habit. I'm trying to stop this habit. You have not lost your salvation. You have not loved the Holy Ghost. Give yourself what? Time. Is it clear? Give yourself what? Time. Is it clear? Give yourself what? Time. Give yourself what? Time. And let me tell you something. When it comes to habits, you need time because you didn't get there in one day. Someone is smoking, smoking, smoking. The fact that someone is smoking does not mean he's not born again. That's where many preachers miss it. Something ought to be taken away by spiritual growth. Are we together? Then you are saying because it is there, the person is not born again. You can't even start walking with the person yet. You can't help him. He is born again, settle it. If he's born again, are we together? He is born again. If he's born again, he is what? He is born again. Then spiritual growth. Is it clear? Someone say, sir, I don't know the way my mind works. The way my mind works that I don't understand. You know, sometimes my mind. Calm down. Give it what? Time. But when I say give it time, you should understand what give it time means. Time changes nothing. It is what you do in the time that changes things. It will change with time. Nothing changes with time. It changes with impute over time. Give it what? Even nature teaches us that it's not the day you put seed that you will reap the harvest. Amen. It is not the day you put seeds that you reap what? The harvest, the fruits. So, let's get back. I do what? I am intentional. Deliberate. So, what do you do deliberately around the Word of God? Answer that question. What are the things that you have been doing deliberately? Deliberately. Now, if it's deliberate, you need not be instructed again. Is it clear? If it is deliberate, you will not always need instructions before you start it out or you get started with it anymore. So, I want to close my thoughts. Until I have things I do deliberately that aids understanding of what has been taught to me, I am not going to act on it. Until I have things I do what? Deliberately. So, those things you do deliberately is what we call what? Guarding what? The Word. What do you do deliberately? I can tell you my own. Well, what do you do daily with? There are things that generally our church is instructed. Example, if you're a worker in training, they have instructions. But there has to be what is done daily with. So I can move from what? Memory to what? Conviction. Memory to what? Conviction. Acrotist. Memory to what? Conviction. So I can move away from acrotist. I can move from memory to what? Conviction. Did Eve have the memory? Did she have the conviction? No. Because we will see conviction not in your words. We will see conviction in your actions. Actions are the revealers of convictions. Your activities. Wisdom is justified by its fruits. Your activities. Are we there? Notice that. Okay, I'll talk about that one later. See you back. Number one is what? I gave you three. Number one, intentional. Number two, extensive. How long do you spend? Look at me. Revisiting. I said what? I didn't say discovering. Discovering means new. We are talking about revisiting. That's why we say that curiosity does not equate to what? Spiritual development. Always wanting to know new things does not mean you will grow. Is it clear? So, how long do you spend what? Revisiting. Then look at this. Number three. How often do you what? Revisit. What are the things you do what? Intentionally, right? To aid or to gain what? Understanding and what? Depth. You go home and answer these questions tonight. And when you are answering it, ensure you are answering it to your own self. Look at me. I am not going to answer it like Brian did. I will be deceiving myself. I am going to answer it to my own self. That means I am going to factor what is happening in my life. Look at me. If I am married, that answer will reflect it. If I am unmarried, that state will be reflected in the answer. Maybe I go to work at 7 and come back at 5. The answer I give myself in the activities I do deliberately to aid understanding will differ from the fellow who does his own business. Is it clear? You see, this is where some people don't get when they say you should have a personal work with God, Most times, what they call personal work with God is simply a personalized application of what is generally taught in God's words. Have a life of acting on what all has been taught. It will differ. It will differ. Is it clear? Is it clear? Let's say, for example, what I will do deliberately, maybe I run a business of mine, and my major of business, maybe I go to the market at 9, 10 a.m. That means, okay, maybe my assumption at the market is 10 a.m. That means I have some flexible time between 5 a.m. and 10 a.m. A whooping 5 hours in the morning. Maybe you are a banker and you must already be at work at 7. Maybe all you have in the morning is just 2 hours to yourself. Maybe despite the fact that you are a banker, you are a nursing mother. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So what do you do deliberately to aid your own understanding and depth of what you have had? Is it clear? Then secondly, on extensively, right? What's the question? How long do you spend what? Revisiting what has been taught you. What you have had. Revisiting. And then on consistency, what's the question? How often do you what? Revisit. Do you notice that as a church, we take on some series extensively? Do you notice that? Do you notice that? Teaching the Spirit, sometimes we are on it for 4 months. The same subject. No break. Are we there? Are we there? Did you observe that we are, the following year again, we are back at it. The following year again, we are. Is that consistency? Is that extensive? Now, deliberately, are there definite activities you are told to do in the course of the study? Huh? Thank you. So, if I look into those 3 areas, I'll close here. Understanding and depth. Put it differently, conviction will be a natural fruit. And don't forget that there are 3 things that moves people to act. Number one is what? Conviction. Number 2 is what? Fear. Number 3 is what? Pressure. So if conviction becomes the natural response or natural fruit, then I will find myself acting on the word of God out of conviction. Ezekiel, Judge. Ezekiel, Judge. Before my close. So James is saying, we're going to see other things, though. We're going to see other things. James is saying, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So to be a doer of the word, I have to guard. When we look at meditate, I'm going to show you the word melitao, which means to revolve something, turn it over. Turn it over. Do I have moments where all I'm doing is turning over the word? Don't forget we said. He says to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Yeah, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord your God.
Hallelujah. Ahab in the Hebrew, which means to prioritize, to be committed out of affection, to prioritize the word of God. I revolve it in my mind. There are thoughts on the social media, there are thoughts on Facebook, thoughts come to you on Instagram, on Twitter, on blogs, social media status, WhatsApp status, reels, story on Facebook. Those are sources where thoughts come to you. Other people's words, actions, statements made by other people, comments made by other people, they come to you. They stay in your mind. You thought you had it. No, it comes back. But there's that which you then must deliberately do, to turn the word again and again and again. Why does he say day and night? It means regularity is required. Regularity is required. No one grows from a food eating once. No one grows from a food eating once. No one. Sometimes even when you are ill of a particular ailment and you are given drugs, you are given a bunch of it to use at a circle, a periodic fashion. Did they take this 12 hours interval? So they say 8 hours interval. So they say 24 hours interval. Take it again, again. It shows you how things work is the again. The same thing again. The same thing again. The teaching track again. Just by listening to it, just by bringing it up again, there is already power in repeating the message. Listen to the tape again. Listen to the read the Bible text again. Read the Genesis to Revelation again. Read it again. Read it again. Read that book again. Listen to the teaching again. Listen to the track again. Again. That regularity. There's nobody that grows on what he had once, even in the Word of God. You cannot build conviction on what you had once, or even twice, or even three times. Look at how many times ungodly thoughts come to you. Look at how many times suggestions come to you. Look at how many occurrences, things occur to you again. Sometimes, you know, in the social media, they call it aglorism. The aglorism will bring it again. So they have to ask you, are you interested? Not interested. If you like, click not interested. It will bring it again. Again. If you're in the business or you know what I'm talking about, your ad will come at that again. Again. Sometimes some people will now take a step on clicking your ad because they saw it the fifth time. It is normal that you take a decision. It has to what? Come again. Repeatedly. Repeatedly. All the time. Are we together? You cannot grow spending 2 hours on the Word of God a week. You can never grow. If all you do is you just come into service on Thursday, or you just come into service on Sunday, and you want to grow spiritually, you will never grow. You will never grow. Hearing God's word, only 2 or 3 hours, a Sunday morning. Even in some churches, they can't even teach the word. So now you wonder, what do people do in their services? On a Sunday, they say the service is 1 hour 30 minutes. On a Sunday, 1 hour 30 minutes service. Between 8 a.m. and
12, they are run by 3-4 services. What are you saying? And that's what people will live on. That's what people will live on in your week. So you cannot grow. So we have multiplied churches, but folks are not acting on the world. They act on the world. Say your words in my heart, occurring repeatedly, to act on it. So the word of God comes to wash and to light itself on the plate of our minds. Ezekiel church. So what do? I need to create a pattern of hearing the same thing. I need to create a pattern of hearing the word and hearing the same thing more than once. Is it clear, church? I need to create a pattern of hearing the same thing, of hearing the word, right? Now, of hearing the same thing more than once. I need to create a pattern of hearing the same things repeatedly and extensively. Are we together? More than once, repeatedly, extensively. There are things that as a church we must hear annually. Christ discipleship coming. There are things that as a church we must hear on a monthly fashion. There are things that as a church we must hear weekly. There are some things that the church must hear daily. There are some things as a believer, you must go over it once in 2 days, once in 3 days, once in 5 days, once in a month, 3 days of every month, 12 days of every month. That's what I do. I do 12 days of every month on that same emphasis. 1 to 12 every month, I have things I'm listening to. It has not failed in 4 to 6 years. That same thing, 4 to 12 of the month, I'm listening to it. At that moment, whatever it is I'm doing, it pauses. Whatever I'm learning, I'm researching, I'm learning, I will just put a pause. Between morning and night, I find a way around it. Between the 4th and the 12th. At that moment, I try to go about other things I'm doing, study, drawing insights, new insights, discovering, and then reading, searching, and all that. But I must lead it. And oftentimes, I prioritize this one. So by the time, maybe when I'm done with it, I can continue the other one. It's fine. Because the 4th and the 12th of every month, I am listening to masters around this. It keeps us growing. It keeps us strong. It keeps us safe. It keeps us strong. It keeps us healthy. Strong Christians. So that is how we learn properly. I'm going to be blessed tonight. Let us stand on our feet. I just bow our heads and pray. That the attention to the word of God is helped of God. Lord, I receive your help. Now I attend to your word to be faithful up here of your word, to hear and to hear again your word. I commit my heart to loving you through the word. I give my heart to the understanding of your word, esteeming your word and the lordship of your word, esteeming your word is placed in my heart. Hearing it again. That I give my heart to understanding your counsel. I give my heart to growing in depth and understanding of your thoughts, of your words. I prioritize your word over information, even in the natural information around my job, around my engagements, information around money, around health, around life. Philosophies of life, information around the natural things I do in my world. I give your word the first place.
I give my heart to your word. I give my heart to your word. Oh Lord, I give my heart to your word. Pray, pray, pray. I give my heart to your word. I give my heart to your word, oh Lord. I receive help. You know, I give my heart much more to your word. Lord, I receive help. I ask, oh Lord, that I receive help. I receive your help. I ask, oh Lord, that by your spirit, I prioritize your word much more. Every day, morning, and night. I give your word. I give my heart to your word. To feed on it, to feed my soul. To change my ideology, to refine my worldviews. Yes. Lord, I give my heart to your word. I pray, oh Lord, I say again and again. And I give my heart to your word. I receive your help in giving my heart to your word. Lord, I receive the lordship of your word in my heart. I give my heart over to your word to build conviction in it. That I will not live as one who hears your word and makes no profit thereby. Lord, I pray that I'm helped by your spirit to meditate on your word, to dissolve as it were in my heart counsel of your word, to have it permeate my thoughts, my opinions, to have it permeate every corner of my heart, of my life, to the end that my life becomes an expression of what you have said of the believer, to the end that my life becomes an expression of what you have said of your son, of the believer, of your child. Lord, I pray that every difficulty that stands in my way of giving attention to the world is hereby taken away by your spirit. I receive his help tonight. I receive help tonight. I receive help tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I receive help tonight. Pray for yourself.
The first day, the word in my heart.